and praise the Lord. Praise God, He is worthy. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in His presence. Amen. It's good to be with the family of God. Just want to welcome everyone this morning, especially if you're a guest of ours online or here in our service. We're grateful that you're with us. We're grateful to be part of God's family. I'm grateful for what God has done for all of us and for myself in particular. If you're a guest of ours, we want to encourage you. If you haven't received a connection card, please take a moment, get one from the ushers, or go to the kiosk and get one, and you can fill that out. Drop that there at the kiosk. Give it to one of the ushers when it's filled out. We just want to give you a token of our appreciation to let you know that we're grateful that you're here. If you're online, you can follow that up online as well. Connect online. There's the information posted. Please, we want to stay in touch. It's so important to be connected in this day and this age. And more importantly, it's important to be connected with the family of God. Amen. Amen. So welcome to all of you. Before we go any further concerning giving options, I just want to take a moment and let you know that today, throughout the United States, but here at Calvary Gospel Church, we're recognizing All Nations Sunday. Can you say All Nations? I sound like Mr. Rogers. Can you say All Nations? All Nations Sunday is a United Pentecostal Church specified event where multicultural ministries is asking that churches take up a special offering, and it's part of our organization's efforts to bring the whole gospel to the whole world by reaching different cultures right here in our backyard. Amen. So the umbrella of multicultural ministries encompasses 19 focus ministries. It has a domestic missionary program. We've had some of those missionaries here. Brother Forkpaw helped set up I just drew a blank on the African International Ministries. He came and he was one of those multicultural evangelists, missionaries, to come and they go to local churches, help set up outreaches in churches in cultures that are not directly accessible to the larger church. So sometimes obstacles create a problem for evangelism for the local church, such as cultural barriers or language barriers. And multicultural ministries helps churches cross those barriers and establish an outreach within the culture. And that is why we exist. Multicultural ministries are determined to assist local assemblies with strategies and resources designed to establish connections, there's that word again, with resident cultures, so that we can connect with individuals. And we know that's what it's all about, is reaching individuals. So All Nations Sunday, this is your opportunity to give to multicultural ministries. We also do Global Tracks, which provides literature free online. You can go there, globaltracks.com, and get literature, tracks, any kind of all kinds of information in various languages. So if you meet a neighbor who has just moved here from Russia, you can find a tract in Russian and share it with that individual. Go there for free. Intercultural Missionary Evangelists, and then, of course, All Nations Sunday. So this is our opportunity. Last year, the Wisconsin District raised $1,293.27 for multicultural ministries. Last year, Calvary Gospel Church raised $1,293.27 for multicultural ministries. Our official district offering came from Calvary Gospel Church last year, so we're depending on you to do that again. Hopefully, more pastors are aware of this this day in this offering, and we'll have a much larger offering. But I'd like to see us double that here at Calvary Gospel Church. So when we give, when you give this morning, and you have up until the end of the month to give, but please take the opportunity now if you can. You can give tithes and offering to cgcmadison.org/giving, or 5301 Commercial Avenue. You can send it snail mail, or you can text to give. And you need to designate, if you text, tithes, offerings, missions, or if you can, just put ANS or All Nations Sunday as you designate for that offering. Take this opportunity. Say All Nations Sunday. Say Multicultural Ministries. Praise God. Thank you for that. So those are your giving options. One other announcement is Sunday, November 1st, is Holy Ghost Sunday. I know we have the Holy Ghost here every Sunday, but that Sunday we will specifically focus on reaching people who need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you are seeking God's Holy Spirit, if you need to be renewed, refilled, this is an opportunity. If you know someone, perhaps that has maybe slipped away from the Lord, it's a great opportunity to bring someone, especially since our special speaker will be Sister Vicki Vernon. Brother and Sister Vernon will be with us for our Holy Ghost Sunday, so invite someone to this special service. Amen. I would ask you to stand at this time. We want to pray and ask God's blessing on this service. Let me ask you this. How many of you know someone who has been affected by COVID-19? Well, let's pray for those people. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our state. And let's pray for our church as we pray for this service. In Jesus' name, Lord, I love you because you first loved me. I know, O God, that you care about me because of the blood you shed on Calvary. I pray, O God, for your blessing here this morning, O God, upon this congregation, upon everyone who hears and sees this online. We pray, O God, for the anointing of God to flow upon our special guests, O God, the Thompsons. We pray, O Lord, for your blessing and your anointing upon the people of God, that we may be a light in this dark and troubled hour in our state and in our nation. We pray, God, for these many souls that we know personally that have been affected by this virus, O God. I pray, let there be healing in our hands. Let there be healing in our mouths and our hearts, that we can bring ministry, Lord, to those who need it. I pray, O God, for a breakthrough in our nation and in our state, in our world, O God, that the people of God may be a light in this hour, that the healing power of the Holy Ghost will flow through us and we may be used of you. Pour out your Spirit, O God, I pray, upon those who are suffering, and let them seek you. Move their hearts, O God, to recognize that one and only name that can save and that can heal, the name of Jesus. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen.
Child of the King, that makes me royalty to a power with no boundaries. I come expecting miracles, anticipating wonders that only come by you. Child of the King. anticipating wonders that only come on you. You are the God of everything. Take all doubt from me, for you can handle. I come expecting miracles, anticipating wonders that only come on you.
Till my knees
enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud.
Shout to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are good. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Feels good in here this morning. Good to see all of you. Some of you haven't seen in a while. It's so good to see you all here this morning. We love and appreciate you all. We've had an incredible week this week. God has just been so good and so good. We had Brother Galen Thompson here ministering to us on Wednesday evening. Did a phenomenal job. And it is just an honor to have Brother Nathan and Sister Skasha here, and their beautiful little daughter, Eowyn. One thing I appreciate about their ministry, and it's something I appreciate about a lot of, you know, as far as ministries, everybody kind of has their own type of style of ministry, but Brother Nathan's ministry and Sister Scotch's ministry, it's all about pouring into others. It's all about pouring into others. And I don't think there's a greater calling or greater ministry that you can have on this planet than to take and invest in other people. Especially when other people are broken. And in times they've given up on themselves. Maybe their family's given up on them. But God never does. You're here this morning and you're broken. You've come to the right place. You're in the right place. So we thank you. We love and appreciate you, Brother Nathan, Sister Skasha. And God bless you. Come minister to us this morning. God bless.
I wonder if we can do that to Jesus right now. Let's just give that hand clap back to Him this morning. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Let's lift up some high praise in this place today. You might have to wear a mask, but that doesn't need to put a cap on your worship today. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We invite your spirit and your presence right now this morning to do what you came into this place to do today. God, we unveil, oh God, our hearts this morning. We invite you to have your way in this place, oh God, in this time, in this moment, Jesus. Minister to us, oh God, in a relevant and a poignant way today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Stay standing with me for just a moment if you'll be so kind this morning. It's such a good, good thing to be in church on a Sunday morning. Amen, amen. And as I look across this congregation, I see so many faces that I've been on the mountain with. And it's just an honor to be here with such a great group of people. I want to give a couple shout outs this morning. First of all, to Pastor Roy and Sister Lois. We love you guys so much. And he is a tremendous man of God. He's a humble man. He's a safe man. And I love him. Consider him to be one of my pastors. And also, I want to just give a big shout out this morning. It's so good to have my wife and my daughter here with me. They're not always able to be with me when I travel. And so good to have them here this morning. And this week while I was here, there were several kind gentlemen that put in some work on the Man Up Adventures trailer, put some shelves in it. And I want to thank everyone who was involved in that, Kelvin, Marvin, Ricky, Scott. And I hope I'm not missing anybody. If I am, I just pulled those faces out of the pictures they sent me. And love those guys. And all of those guys are Man Up alumni. If you've been on a Man Up Adventures trip, let me just see your hand here. Just put it up there. It's been an honor. And I believe in you. And you are world changers. Every last one of you. And it's a blessing to be here this morning. I think I might have saw Brother Caskey over here somewhere. God bless you, sir. His nephew is my one of my best friends in the world. And I have a burden and an urgency in my spirit this morning. And I was supposed to preach on Wednesday night, which is why I didn't bring a suit. But what happened on Wednesday night? How many were here Wednesday night or watched it online? Let me see your hands this morning. What a tremendous word from the Lord that was delivered on Wednesday night. And I know now why I'm standing here on Sunday morning. It's because I have the second half of that this morning. And as I listened to my father on Wednesday night, I felt a strong urgency in the Holy Ghost regarding what I'm going to preach this morning to you. When you hear a word from God like the one you heard on Wednesday night, there's a come to Jesus moment that happens in our spirit. There's an awakening that happens. But when that subsides, the question that rises to the surface of our hearts is the question, how can I get ready for the shift that's taking place? And that's what I'm going to preach to you about this morning. And so if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 30. Thank you, worship team. What a tremendous job ushering the presence of the Lord into this place this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 30 says, "And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him." And then the Bible says this, "He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." For the next few minutes this morning, I want to preach to you on this title, Rebuilding the Altar. Rebuilding the Altar. Jesus, I feel your spirit in here so strong right now, God. God, I pray that you'd anoint this preacher, these lips of clay this morning to deliver this word. God, I feel so urgent in my spirit that this is a timely word for this group of people. It's a timely word based on the times and the seasons that we are living in right now. And God, I pray right now that your power and your anointing would be released into this place this morning. That God, by the time we are finished this morning, that your people will have made fresh and new commitments to rebuild the altar in their lives, because it's the only thing that's going to carry us through the shift. It's the only thing that God is going to take us through. Oh God, moments and times and seasons and hours like the ones that we are in right now and the ones that are to come. So Jesus, anoint us today. Anoint us this morning. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and heart that is sensitive, oh God, to the leading of your Spirit. We ask in the name of Jesus, and everyone said amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You can be seated this morning. How many have ever had a prophetic word spoken over your life? Had a moment where, whether it was someone delivering a word over a pulpit or someone one-on-one praying with you, there was a moment where there was a shift in the Spirit and you immediately knew and understood that the words that were being spoken forth into your spirit were prophetic and they were for you either now or in the future. I had a moment like that at age 22. I was in a moment of prayer, and a good friend of mine came and began to pray with me. And there was a moment, Brother Smith, where in the middle of that prayer, the dynamic shifted. And I remember him taking me by either shoulder in his hands, Pastor, and he looked at me, and this is what he said to me as a 22-year-old single man. He said, "When you show God that you can meet his expectations for your relationship with him, he is going to grant you the wife that you desire right now to have a relationship with." And I'm going to be really honest with you, Sister Seidel. I didn't exactly receive that into my spirit at that moment. I said, "Oh, that's how it's going to be." Because I had just left 4 years of Bible college, and it just seemed to me like people were arbitrarily marrying whoever they wanted to, and I just wasn't ready for that. And so what happened, Brother Dan Powell, is 22 went by, 23 went by, and yes, that was an area for most of my life I had placed on the altar and said, "God, it's your choice, your decision. When you're ready, I'll be here waiting for you." 24 went by, 25 went by, and I started to think, you know what, there might have been something to that. Now, don't get me wrong. I came to church on a Sunday morning. I would have tuned in online if there had been cameras set up, if you're at home watching. I loved God, but I didn't have the relationship with God that I needed to back up what had always been preached to me over the pulpit. I didn't have the relationship with God that I had seen modeled at home by my parents. There came a moment in time in my life where I had to wake up and understand that this is not just a once or twice a week participation sport, but this is something I had to own for myself. It didn't matter who my dad was or how close in proximity I was to people who prayed and had the Spirit actively moving in their life. I had to own this for myself. And so I started to get a little more serious about my relationship with God. But what would always happen is a week or two or three into my steadfastness, the busyness of life would begin to creep in and override the commitments that I had freshly made. And I soon again became a Sunday and Wednesday Christian with a little bit of prayer sprinkled in, a minute or two or five here and there between services. And so 26 went by, and something happened in at age 27. I started to pastor a church. And don't get me wrong, I was ratcheting up my prayer life with God each of those years. But here's the thing about God. God created you. He's aware of the talents and abilities that he has given you. He's aware of the purpose that he has for you. And so he's also very aware of when we feel that we're doing okay, but he's standing back and saying, I created you and have expectations for you to come up here when you're comfortable being down here. Expectations in the scripture are not a new thing. And I know we live in a day and age that when we start talking about expectations for people, we all get a little weird about it because we're Americans and we're independent and we do what we want to do when we want to do it. But hear this preacher this morning as I begin this morning by saying God has expectations for your life. We see this right away play out in the first story of the Bible. Adam and Eve sin. They hide in the garden. They attempt, using their own human will and intellect and knowledge, to clothe themselves. But when God shows up, he looks at what they thought was okay in terms of their clothing, and he says, no. I can see that you did your best, but my expectation is up here. And so God kills a couple animals, and he clothes them from here to here. The next story in the Bible is about two brothers. And God obviously has set an expectation for them in this situation, because when it comes time for them to bring a sacrifice, Abel brings a sacrifice that is acceptable to God. But Cain, who feels like he's okay and doing the right thing, brings a sacrifice that doesn't match or meet the expectations of God. And things didn't have to go badly for Cain, but basically what God was saying is, Cain, I have an expectation for you, and you're not meeting it. So, I started to pray like I'd never prayed before. I started to dig into the Word of God like I'd never dug in before. And I went to General Conference that year, 2011. And it was in Louisville, Kentucky. And on Tuesday night, Anthony Mangan preached a sermon that would change my life. And it was called Altar Call. And he talked about how his father, Pastor G.A. Mangan, who founded a dynamic apostolic church on his knees through his prayer life, how the passing of his father had rattled Pastor Anthony's life so much, and that there, a little later even in his life, in his late 50s, early 60s, he was waking up to the idea that his relationship with God, there was still some work to do. And he preached an amazing sermon that night about building the altar in your personal life. And there I was at General Conference, single, dressed to the nines, because that's what you do when you're single at conference, right? And I found myself in all my fancy clothes, laying on my face on the cement floor of the Yum Arena in Louisville. And I left a puddle of tears this big. And I got up that night with dust all over my clothes, but with a fresh commitment. And I told this to God. I said, God, there's never going to be a day of my life that goes by without me building an altar to you. And I went 3 years without missing a day. We all have our reasons why our altar is in disrepair. I had mine, and you have yours. Listen to me clearly this morning. If we are going to make it through the shift, and if we are going to thrive as the shift starts to take place in America, we are going to need to repair the altars of the Lord that are broken down in our lives. We are no longer going to be able to... We are no longer going to be able to just rely on a few minutes here and a few minutes there and a timely word from a pastor behind a podium, because things are getting ready to change. And it's time like never before for the apostolic born again people of God to own their relationship with God like never before. If you're not a man or woman of prayer, newsflash, it's time to learn to pray. It's time to get on our knees. It's time to get in the Word of God, because that is the only thing that is going to carry you through the times that are coming. We launched out on our faith journey almost 4 years ago, November 15th, 2016. And having a lack of stability in my life really started to rattle my relationship with God. Then furthermore, this beautiful bundle appeared in our lives on December 23rd, 2017. And I'll tell you right now, Sleep unpredictable. The 5:30, 6 a.m. prayer every morning before I picked my phone up and started checking emails, because that's kind of how it has to work sometimes. That was gone. My life schedule and all the stability that I had once relied on in order to cultivate a daily relationship with God. Any parents in the house this morning, you know what I'm talking about? That was gone. And so when Eowyn Grace was born into our lives on December 23rd, 2017, I found my prayer life in flux, and I started to struggle, and I started to feel temptations come back that I hadn't felt in a long time, because I was no longer building an altar to the Lord. Things were starting to get difficult. I was starting to question my purpose, because when we start to drift from the Master, when we start to allow our eyes to fixate on other things, purpose becomes unclear. Clarity is no longer there. And so I remember reading the scripture that we opened with this morning in my Bible, and I remember tears coming into my eyes as I felt the Holy Spirit start to speak to me and say, "Nathan, you made me a promise, but your altar is in disrepair, and it's time for you," God lovingly said that morning, "for you to begin to rebuild your altar, because it's broken down." And I remember pressing in that morning, and it was like I had never missed a day, as the presence of God started to move through my home and started to move through that place, and tears began to pour down my face. Listen, you don't need to only pray in the Spirit when you come to church. It's going to come time where we're going to need to pray in tongues, and we're going to need to pray in the Spirit every day, and you're not going to be able to rely on a cute sermon preached over a pulpit, but we're going to have to own this for ourselves and begin to usher the presence of the Lord into our homes on a daily basis. Building altars to the Lord is something that's not foreign to Scripture. In fact, Scripture records the following men as having built altars to the Lord in the Old Testament. Noah built an altar to the Lord. Abraham built 4 altars to the Lord. Isaac built an altar to the Lord. Jacob built 2 altars to the Lord. Moses built 2 altars to the Lord. Joshua built an altar. Gideon built 2 altars. Samuel built an altar. David built an altar. And Solomon built an altar to the Lord. But something happened in Israel after Solomon's reign. The Bible says a king rose to power in Israel named Jeroboam. And Scripture says that he disregarded God and fashioned idols and began to sacrifice to them. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 33 says, "So he, Jeroboam, offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. And he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense." What the scriptures are telling us is that Jeroboam started to get away from what his forefathers had always done. He started to make his religious experience up on his own. He started growing lax with the sacred and the holy things in his life, and he began coming up with his own feel-good flavor. Listen to me this morning. I'm talking to someone today. There is someone here. You've grown lax in building your altar to the Lord, but the lie that has come with that is that you've only stopped building the altar, when the unseen truth behind that lie this morning is that you've also started building altars to other gods. Small g. Because listen to me clearly this morning. We're all building an altar to something. It's just who or what we're building the altar to. In Scripture, when an altar was built to the Lord, it was always a sign that communication was getting ready to take place between God and man. And that nearly every scriptural mention of mankind building an altar to God, there accompanying the building of that altar is revelatory, life-changing communication that comes down from heaven at a timely point in a man or woman's life. When Scripture shows us is that when we build altars to God, He is revealed to us in brand new ways. But not only is He revealed to us in new and personal ways, but He proves to reveal Himself in relevant and timely ways. In fact, when you begin to study Scripture on your own, you'll find that nearly all the descriptive Jehovah terms in the Old Testament that we use to understand God in a greater way, they were all revealed when a man or woman stopped and paused to build an altar to God. The message this morning is clear. You need God, and I need God, and we need Him more than ever before. But there comes times in our life when we need Him in a very personal and in a very powerful way. There are times in our lives when we are fearful and we are confused and we don't know which way to go. And those are the moments that rely on us building an altar, because that's when He comes down and we begin to understand Him and know Him in personal and relevant ways. Abraham builds four altars in his lifetime. And God is either present communicating with Abraham, or Abraham is documented as having called on the name of the Lord at all four of those altars. And Pastor, it's at the fourth altar, at a very critical moment in Abraham's life, when God has finally given him the promised son, Isaac. And there, standing at an altar that he has built, holding his son in his hands, God's presence comes down. And God reveals Himself to Abraham at that fourth altar as Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord will provide. If there was ever a moment in his life that he needed to know that God was a provider, it was that moment. And when he built an altar, it was in that moment that God decided to say, I'm going to provide for you, even though it looks like there's not a way. Jacob builds two altars to the Lord, and God is revealed to him at the first altar in Genesis 33 as El Elohi Israel, or the mighty God of Israel. And it's at the second altar, just two chapters later, that God is revealed to him as El Bethel, or the God of the house of God. Moses builds two altars to the Lord, and God is revealed to him at the first altar in Exodus 17 as Jehovah Nissi, or the Lord is our banner. Gideon builds two altars to the Lord, and the Lord is revealed to him at the first altar in Judges chapter 6, at a very crucial moment in Gideon's life when his family is against him and the people around him are against him, and he's taking a stand for what is right. God reveals Himself to Gideon at that altar as Jehovah Shalom, or the Lord is peace. Listen to me today. Some of you need peace in your lives like you've never needed it before, but there can't be the fire that falls on that altar if there is no altar for the fire to fall. And you need peace, but you don't have an altar. And God is saying, I want to give to you what you need, but I need you to get on your knees and start to communicate with me, because it's in those moments that I'm going to speak to you and reveal myself to you in a way that's going to change your life forever. Building altars is all about receiving supernatural communication that can set the course for your life. I've set my own course before. And let me tell you right now, it's not something that you ever want to do for yourself. Some of us need direction right now like we've never needed it before. And we need clarity, and we need to hear from God, and we need Him to light the path that's in front of us. But we don't have an altar. What we need is more supernatural communication from heaven in our life on a daily basis. And we'd start to find the problems we keep running into in the ditch that's on both sides of the roads. We wouldn't find ourselves there as often if we would start to build an altar to God before we pick our silly phone up in the morning and start scrolling through a Facebook filled with a bunch of people who don't care about you anyways. Who cares what they say? Let's start tapping into what He's saying in the morning. Don't check an email before you check in with heaven. Don't look at your text in the morning until you get with God, because what you'll find is He'll give you life-changing communication for your life that will chart the course not only for that day, but for your week and for the months ahead. I take my journal every morning into prayer with me, and I have a roadmap of the moments, Brother Repko, where God has spoken to me over the last 4 years of my life as we've launched out on our faith journey. And there's been moments, Brother Seidel, when I've questioned, God, this is radical. Am I doing what you've really asked me to do? And I can page back to December 1st, 2015, where God spoke to me and said, I'm going to take you on an Abraham journey. And I can hold on to those moments because I built an altar that morning and God came and He spoke with me, and I can hold on to it. And through that roadmap, I can see that His mercies are new every morning. I can see that He's a provider. I can see that when man says something is impossible, God shakes His head and He says, no, I'm just looking for a vessel to pour into. But you gotta have an altar first. So if building altars is all about receiving supernatural communication from heaven, why would we think, when the New Testament is so clear about the spiritual nature of the enemy of our souls, that when we stop building the altar of God and we start erecting altars to other things, that the enemy won't communicate to us in the same way? I got to talk to you right now with an urgency in the Spirit. We are always only one generation away from losing this precious truth, losing this life-changing power that God has brought into each of our lives. We're only just one generation away. And I believe with every fiber in my being that everything my dad said on Wednesday night was prophetic, that there is a shift that is coming. It's already started. Things have been accelerated in the spiritual realm. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And so it's time for us like never before to have a personal spiritual relationship with the God who saved our souls. It's time for us like never before to take heaven by force and to storm the throne rooms of heaven, because there's a God there who is speaking. He wants to speak. We just have to give Him the opportunity and slow down enough and put busyness away and listen, so that we can hear His voice. Because you're not going to make it without erecting a personal altar to the Lord. I'm getting ready to bring this straight from my heart, and so forgive me if I come across a little too point blank. But parents, I wonder what our kids would say if they were asked how frequently they saw or heard us building an altar to the Lord in our home. I get it. Prayer closet, all of that. But I'm thankful I was raised in a home where I didn't have to wonder if my parents prayed. I didn't have to hear them talk about it, but never hear them do it. I grew up in a place where they modeled what they preached. And although I was practically backslidden as a 16 and 17 year old, I would wake up in the morning after being out the night before doing things I shouldn't have been doing. I'd wake up on a Saturday morning at 6 a.m. That's right, Saturday at 6 a.m. to hear my mom praying in the living room through the floor of my room, Pastor. I could hear her praying about the things I had done the night before, and there was no way she could have known what I was out there doing. I'm talking about having a culture in your home where you're led by the Spirit because you're communicating with God and He's charting the course for your family. And you're not having to live in fear and wonder what's going to happen because you're secure in the arms of the Savior. Because if there's things in your life that are more important to you than your relationship with God, your kids are going to be the first ones to know it. Forgive my point blankness again. But when did our priorities get so messed up that being busy is actually a viable excuse for us not building an altar to the Lord? My friend Lewis Brown, he helps me lead the Man Up Adventures trips in New England. He and his wife doubled down on their relationship with God a few years ago, and they started building an altar to God in their home. They started planning personal devotion times in their home, and something amazing happened a couple years ago, because at home, their four-year-old daughter, Lucy, lifted up her hands and received the Spirit of the living God with the evidence of speaking in tongues in their living room. They didn't need someone to come pray for her. They weren't reliant on us creating an atmosphere, but they got something deep down in their heart that said, God, we want what we feel on Sunday and Wednesday to be a part of our everyday life in our house. And he texted me a picture of his daughter with her hands raised, with tears coming down her eyes. That's the kind of dad I want to be. That's the kind of mom I want to be. And I'm not trying to throw parents here into regret. What I'm saying is, it starts tomorrow morning. It starts when we leave here and we make a dedication in our heart that it's time for us to rebuild the altars which are broken down. Because when parents prioritize their relationship with God, stunning results can take place in their families. My dad received his calling to the ministry not at youth camp or NAYC, and those are great things. Not at a church or a church altar. No, my father received his call to the ministry at the family altar, at a window seat overlooking the Mississippi River, where his family had decided that at 9 o'clock in the summer, every night, they were going to meet as a family for prayer. No holds barred. We were going to do this, and they were going to do it during the school year at 8 p.m. No matter what, everything stops, and we carve out a moment for God. Am I good at this right now? No. Do I need to be better at it? Yes, because I want my daughter to have that same experience. I want my daughter to have that same life-giving flow in her life that I've seen my parents display. Anything that I am and anything I ever become is because I had parents who modeled what they believed, who got into the altar at their home on a daily basis. It was not uncommon for me to come down and to see tears streaming down my father and my mother's face as they were praying in the Spirit, interceding for people. But when parents build altars to other things than God, it directly affects their children's future as well. Scripture shows this to be the case over and over again. Just two chapters after Jeroboam began to worship other gods in 1 Kings 12, God sends a prophet to deliver a word to Jeroboam in 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 9 and the first half of verse 10. It said, the prophet said this, Jeroboam, thou hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil just on you, Jeroboam. No. We got to wake up to the fact that what we do or don't do doesn't affect just us. I'm waking up to the fact that with a daughter who's going to be 3 and 2 months, that everything I'm doing right now is really for her. That everything that I'm doing right now is really to put her up on my shoulders as the next generation. The Bible says that the prophet said to Jeroboam, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. And so we must build altars to God. I know I'm speaking to the dedicated saints of God this morning, but don't think that you can simply skate by just by attending church throughout the week. You can't come to church and just derive your spiritual high off of a message that pastor preaches because of a prayer life that he has. You got to get it for yourself. Abraham built altars while his nephew Lot, who was just along for the ride, never did. And he eventually lost himself when he began to pitch his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaac built an altar to God. Isaac became the chosen heir of Abraham, but Ishmael never did and became the father of the heathen nations. Jacob and Esau were raised in the same home, but only one brother, Jacob, built an altar and experienced the life-changing blessings of God. Joshua stood before the people of Israel after crossing into the promised land, and he proudly declared, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua could definitively say that because he had built an altar to the Lord just a few chapters before. Joshua understood the power of building an altar to God because he was there in Leviticus 6 and 13 when Moses, reading from the law, said, "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out." Joshua knew the staying power of building a relationship with God because he was there firsthand when 10 spies gave an evil report. And when everyone else was walking away from God's promises, it was Joshua and Caleb that stood strong on the goodness of God in a way that only comes from truly knowing God in an intimate and personal way. Why is it that some Christians stand strong through their darkest moments and others walk away? Hear me this morning. It's because they have an altar. Paul reinforces the idea that building an altar to God and then climbing up on that altar as a living sacrifice will put you in a position to not only hear from God, but to be supernaturally led and empowered by Him. When in Romans 12 and 1, he says this, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God," which is, here's an expectations word, reasonable service. Pastor, there's mornings I wake up and I'm like, oh, I've got a to-do list just like you do, because we're addicted to busyness, that just goes from here, you know, all the way down there. And I'm like, God, I don't have time for you. And then God reminds me, it's your reasonable service. This is my minimum expectation for you. Present your body to me as a living sacrifice. I didn't save you for you to do your own will. I didn't set you free for you to go do your own thing. And you're going to need to plug in like never before, Nathan. Those are the voice, that's the words of the Lord to me in this morning, every morning. And so I have to build an altar. And I love what it says in the next verse. If we do that, right? We won't struggle with being conformed to the world. You know what being conformed to the world is? It's building altars to the same things that they're building altars to out there. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That last half is speaking completely about purpose. And what it's saying is when we start to allow our minds to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, our spirits transformed by the renewing of our minds, that God gets into us and rewires us in a way so that we can be more effective for Him. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. In my opinion, that only happens when we start to get down on our knees. And when this happens in my life, and when I say I'm building an altar every day, what I mean is every morning when I get up to pray, my goal is to pray through, that good old-fashioned word, pray through. And what I mean by that is praying until God starts to engage my emotions, and praying until I start to pray in the Spirit, because it's when that happens that my mind gets transformed, and God starts to reroute my pathways in my mind, and I'm able to take steps of faith, and I'm able to live out my purpose, and I'm able to walk in grace and truth and favor. And so as we close this morning, and as you stand, let us never forget what it says in the second half of James 5 and 16, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. So I'm taking you back to our opening text as we close this morning. A lot has happened in Israel. Because Jeroboam, who stopped building altars to the Lord and started building altars to other gods, the scripture was right. And generation after generation after generation was wayward from God. You want to start breaking generational curses? I challenge you tomorrow morning to start building an altar to God. Because here we are, generations later, new king, same sin. It hasn't rained in Israel for 3 years because sometimes God loves us just enough to start to shake our world up to say, hey, I'm up here. The prophet Elijah calls 850 false prophets to the summit of Mount Carmel, and he draws a line in the sand. And he says this to them, you're going to sacrifice to your gods, and I'm going to rebuild the altar and sacrifice to mine, and whoever answers by fire, let him be God. And because Elijah's a gentleman, he lets the false prophets go first. Morning slips by, afternoon slips by, mid-afternoon into late afternoon, and Elijah says, my turn. And it says in verse 30 that Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. You know, it's interesting. All the people who got their names changed in the Bible, they all built altars. Israel means power with God. That's something I could use in my life on a daily basis, Brother Carey. And it says in verse 32 that with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he built a trench around the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering and of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Well, those guys built an altar. You want to leave a heritage? You want to leave a legacy? You got to build an altar to the Lord. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Come on, we want to have life-changing moments, but he had to repair the altar that was broken down before the fire fell. I've built campfires in all kinds of weather, at all kinds of elevations. And Marvin, you know what I've never done? I've never poured water in the area that I was getting ready to try to build a fire. But this is what you need to understand this morning. It hadn't rained in 3 years. Water was precious. And I'm telling someone this morning, you've been counting the cost for too long. But if you will start to pour out on the altar what is precious, if you will start to just pour out on the altar what you've been holding back for so long, listen to me, it wasn't just too many verses later where the prophet of God looked up and he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Listen, all of that water that was poured out was returned in abundance just a little bit later. Don't count the cost this morning. Build an altar. Pour what's precious on the altar. Every time I built a campfire, and we've got campfires that have been built that have this high, the stone ring around the fire, the stones are always still there. It's the strangest thing. The Bible says that when the fire of the Lord fell, it consumed the stones that comprised the altar. Someone here today, you've been walking in and out of church, and you've been carrying all kinds of heavy stuff, and you've been going back home with it. But hear this preacher this morning. When you start to build an altar to the Lord and the fire starts to fall in your life, the heavy stuff you've been carrying around for too long is going to start to be lifted up off of you. And it's going to be taken up into heaven as the Savior begins to bear your burdens. So the call is clear this morning. It's time to rebuild the altar. It's time to press in like never before. And so no matter where you're at this morning, if you feel comfortable coming to the front and we can do this in a safe manner this morning, by all means come, but it's time to respond right now. If you need to pray where you're at, I encourage you to do that right now. But I want to encourage someone to make a commitment this morning. I want to encourage someone to say, Lord, I need you like never before. It's time to rebuild the altar. It's time to make a commitment that's going to last, God. I need the life-giving flow. I need the fire to fall in my life. So I want to encourage you right now, whether you're going to stay in your seat or whether you're going to come right now, let's get on our knees right now. And let's invite the presence of the living God to work and to move in our lives, because we need Him more than we know. Come on, press in right now. Lean into Him right now. Come on, make a commitment right now. Oh God, I need you. I need you, Jesus. God, I pray over every person right now. God, I pray your Spirit will begin to work and to move in this moment, God. We can't do it without you. God, we can't be professional. So professional in our Christianity that we neglect the altar, God. Help us this morning. Help us this morning, Jesus.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer.
Oh, I want to see your face. I'll seek your face.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire
want to share the rest of the story that I didn't finish. I told you God has expectations for your life. And He was waiting for me to hit the bar He had set in my life. That was a Tuesday night when I laid on the floor in Louisville and I said, God, I'm going to build an altar to You for the rest of my life. I'm sharing what I'm getting ready to share is to confront some of our, God will do it for Him, but not for me. God had said, when You show me You hit that bar, I'll give You what You desire. I met Skasha the next night. Listen to me, someone. Don't walk out of here thinking that this is just hype. Build the altar, pour what's precious on it, and watch the rain clouds of blessing come in. I'm serious. Build the altar. Every promise God's ever made you has been conditional. If My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray, seek My face, then. Every promise. Promises aren't just given in Scripture, they're apprehended. So apprehend your promise, and it's going to start with building your altar in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church. Thank you so very much, Brother Nathan, Sister Skasha, for being here with us today. They're heading off to, I believe, St. Louis. And they have a man-up adventure in Arkansas this next week. Continue to pray for their ministry. It's such an important, vital, impacting ministry. And if you're a young man here, an older man here, and you've never been on a Man Up adventure, it's just not a bunch of old guys sitting around a campfire telling jokes. It's a challenge. And in this day that we live in, God now more than ever needs apostolic men to rise up against the tide and say, I want to stand for what's right, what's godly, what's pure, what's holy. So thank you so very much. Just in closing, I guess we, so many times as Christians, we read the stories, we want to be like Peter and we want to walk on water, but we're too comfortable in the boat. Step out. Build that altar, dads. Build that altar. Step out. Thank you so very much to our worship team this morning. Sister Margaret, you did a phenomenal job. To the rest of you, thank you so very much. We love you, appreciate you all. We had folks this morning listening from our state of Wisconsin and then from Illinois, from Texas. My aunt and uncle watch almost every service here in Texas. That's probably Rick's and Carolyn. Shout out to them. Iowa, Missouri. To all of those that were joining us today and all of our saints here at Calvary Gospel Church that are here and that are at home. Love you all. Appreciate you all. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. It's going to be a fall week this year, or this week. A lot of rain, a little cooler temperatures. Leaves are all pretty much changed and fallen down, and it'll be snow before we know it. I love the seasons. I love the change. God bless you. Love you all.